Everybody,
welcome back to the Watermelon Seas podcast. My name's Joseph,
and I'm Ellie.
And today it's another sibling podcast.
Woo-hoo!
We have my siblings, Ellie and Connor. Fun fact, yes, indeed, my girlfriend's name is Ellie, and my sister's name is Ellie. If you didn't know that, get it straight. It's not confusing at all, and it makes it more fun. So here we go. Go ahead.
To overcomplicate things, Joseph's middle name is Connor and his brother's name is Connor.
Yes. Yeah,
that's funny.
We just have really good taste and we all share the best names.
There you go.
Yep.
We're so glad you guys are willing to talk to us today. This is going to be so fun.
I'm going to introduce them real quick. So Ellie,
go for it.
My sister Ellie, she is 28. We confirmed.
No. I'm 27.
Oh, shoot.
This is why they have to have me on the podcast, because they clearly don't know me well enough.
Oh my gosh, first question, how old are you?
Actually, I think today is my half birthday, because I had to put my birthday into something and it said I was... Joseph, your half birthday isn't exactly on the same day.
Yeah, it is. It's just 6 months later on the...
No, because it's February is... Because it's not even... Never mind. I don't know.
It's okay. let me finish my...
Happy half birthday.
Yeah, happy half birthday. That can be the title of this podcast. Happy half birthday.
I don't know if it's exactly my half birthday, but it was like, you are 27 and 6 months.
Oh,
Got it.
That's funny.
Well, Ellie is my older sister by 5 years. Let's just say that. And she is a project manager at Mayor Prize. She's a consultant there. Super fun. She has started a new job, and she is a very fun, energetic, shall I say, party animal? No, I shall not, because that's not her. She just likes to spend time with family and have a good time. And then Connor over here. Connor is my roommate. He watches me sleep.
Listen, do you sleep?
Oh, yes. He also listens to me sleep. But Connor is a senior at UW-Madison. He's studying mechanical engineering. He every once in a while can get off a funny joke, but most of the time he's inferior to my jokes. And he enjoys doing anything outside and likes to make sure the house is really clean.
That's good.
Yeah, that was the worst description of Connor I've ever heard in my life.
Well, gotta keep it comical over here for all the listeners. Anything you'd like to add?
Sounds about right.
There you go. See? So
I think this is like a sign or some kind of sociological study about two grown brothers living in the same room again.
Yeah.
And all the energy coming from over there is it's like you're back in your childhood bedroom with bunk beds.
Aw, that's cute.
So the first question that we'd like to ask you both is, what's been a defining moment in your life, and how has that shaped you as a person?
Connor, do you want me to go first, or do you want to go?
I can go first. I didn't review any of these questions ahead of time, but I should have known
that's
one was coming from listening to the podcast. I don't think there's one moment that jumps out at me right away when I think of a defining moment in my life. But if I look back and had to pick one, I would probably say, like, a lot of kids moving to college, even though it didn't feel like that big of an adjustment for me at the time. I wasn't like shocked like a lot of kids are. I think that is probably the biggest life change that I've gone through that I've had to choose for myself. And like, if I made a different decision 4 years ago, then my life would be totally different today. So I think
that's probably
the biggest defining moment in my life that I've chosen for myself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good one.
How do you think Madison shaped you specifically? Like, what do you think would be different if you hadn't gone to Madison?
That's a great question. I think it's impossible to know, because I don't know where else I would be. I think if I went
Is there anything about the culture there or your experience there that you feel like has been defining or unique?
Well, I think Joseph just put a University of Minnesota hat on my head because that was another school that I was considering. And I think if I stayed in Minnesota, I probably would have not branched out as much just because so many people from my high school go to the University of Minnesota. Not saying that I branched out a lot here, but that's besides the point. Also, I am really involved in Young Life here at UW, and I don't think that would have been the same if I went to Minnesota. So that's probably a
True.
big defining characteristic of being at Madison specifically.
I think that's a good point too. Like, it wasn't necessarily the moment you got to college and you were like some kids that just like break down crying and it's like, whoa, this is so defining. But it was defining in the sense that it kind of started a new chapter and like a series of things that happened through college that have shaped you. So wise.
I'd like to take credit for the Minnesota thinking cap helping Connor out in that one. All right, Ellie, let's hear your defining moment.
I definitely feel like I have a lot of them, or a few came to mind, but if we're going with the college theme, I studied grassroots activism in India my junior year of college, and that definitely changed me as a person. And I feel like
Wow.
it just like opened my eyes to the world in a way that can only happen if you travel to a place that the culture is completely different and you're immersed completely. So we stayed in these dorms at the Indian Social Institute and just lived and ate and spent time just completely. We were the minorities, and I think, especially as a white person, being the only like white person, it just really like you have a lot of realizations and you have a lot of feelings that I think are really healthy and everyone should experience at some point. And it just like brought a new sense of awareness to me. I also think that happened on like many different levels, not just with my race, but with my the privilege of being a wealthy American, and I guess, yeah, I remember coming back from India and literally crying over a roll of toilet paper. Not that they have toilet paper in India, but it was just like, it was so impactful to see. We visited some people in the slums and they were smiling and happy, and they had spent like the little money they had on cookies and soda, Coke for us.
Aww.
And it was just really impactful to see them and how they could still be not only functioning and living life to the fullest, but like actually happy and finding joy in small moments and greeting us with open arms when, I don't know if we were in their position, if we would be the same. So it was just, yeah, that whole experience was super defining for me.
That sounds impactful. I'm curious, how did coming back to the US, like being back to being in the majority, you're in like the comfort of all the things you're used to, how do you feel like you've been able to keep that experience like in your life or in your mind?
Oh my gosh, I feel like when I first came back, especially, it was like reverse culture shock, even more than the initial culture shock of going there, because it felt like I had just been through this crazy thing that nobody else at home understood. And no one, except for the people who I went on the trip with, could relate. And they hadn't seen what I'd seen, and they hadn't learned what I'd learned. And it just felt very isolating. And so I will say, like, it's something I probably think about often. And I think it's kind of integrated into me and how I see the world. My framework for the world and my world view is different now, but I don't know that I've done a whole lot to share with people the experience because it's not really something that you can verbally share. Although
You're
I
doing it
have
right now.
always,
That's true.
but yeah, it'll still, it's not the same, but I have always encouraged everyone that I've had conversations with about this, to travel to non-Westernized countries because I think it's so easy to think that everyone lives like we do and everyone sees life the way we do, and like we're really just in this bubble, and there's so many people in the world that live completely different lives, and I think it's really beautiful, and I think people would be more compassionate if they had experiences with other cultures.
Definitely. That's really cool. It was great hearing about both of those different moments. I like how you also had the college moments, but they can just look so different for different people, which is cool. But they still definitely shape you. I'm curious, who is a person that has been very influential in your life? Either one of you can answer first.
I'll go first because I feel like mine will be short. I feel like everyone that I've ever met has been influential in
Aww.
some way. Because my dad always used to say to me, take the best from each person that you meet and every person that's around you. Like, you have so many amazing friends and family and teachers, and everyone has like a piece of good that you can take or that you can learn from. So I feel like I try to do that, and I feel like I definitely have found, especially, I mean, we're so lucky that we have such a great family, but I think every person in our family has taught me something or shaped me in some way. So, yeah.
That's so sweet.
Nice. Maybe this is kind of a cop-out answer, but I think for most people, the most influential people are their parents. They are the people that show you the ropes for literally everything in life, and most people grow up emulating what their parents did. So, I mean, for me, my mom and dad, all of us were very fortunate to have really good role models and very caring and hardworking parents. And yeah, when I think of someone that's most influential, it's definitely my mom and dad. I don't really have much more to say about it. There's just no one that's even
No,
close.
that's so true.
Way to get the brownie points, Connor.
Your
Everybody
mom's
knows
gonna
I'm the
love
favorite.
this. And I don't think it's a cop out. It's just true. They spend the most time with you. Like, it's just
Yeah.
like, yeah, everything you learn is from them. We were actually learning about that in one of my classes. I got out of class like 10 minutes ago, and we were learning about attachment styles of children and if they have a secure attachment with their kids. Why
Yeah.
is he shaking his head? Then
Let's
they'll
back
like,
up the phone there for a second.
what? What?
10 minutes ago, you're in class?
Oh, 45 minutes ago.
Okay, that
Whatever.
sounds better.
A lot of time has passed. Interesting. Okay,
No wonder
anyways.
you're late everywhere.
Yes, you. Anyways, but yeah, parents have lots of effects. Good stuff.
Right. We're sticking to the theme of family since you guys are a family. We're all one big happy family. So, what's been the best part about being a sibling in the Dokken and Gerst family?
You go first, Connor.
I think Joseph should answer this one too.
Oh, definitely.
I think probably the best part, or the thing that we are most fortunate to have, is just that we have a spam family who likes spending time together and actually has fun. Like, there's a lot of people that I talk to all the time, and it's normal and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but they are forced to spend time together. Like, people call it forced family fun for a reason. Like, it's not, yeah.
Never heard that before. That's sad.
I haven't either.
Well, never mind then. But there's a lot of people that I talk to who, like, their siblings or parents don't make an effort to go on family trips or don't play games together, and mm-hmm. that would just be makes me kind of sad if we didn't do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the best part about our family specifically. It's just that we make an effort to spend time together and actually have mm-hmm. fun.
I love hearing that you love spending time together, because I mean, Ellie and I will geek out over love languages and all of that, but mm-hmm. my love language is quality time. And mm-hmm. it ties between that and physical touch. But I love spending time with the family, but I feel like it's really easy to think, because you guys are kind of typical guys, not to stereotype, and you are so chill sometimes that it seems mm-hmm. like you're just kind of going with the flow and like just whatever about it. So it's nice that you're, why are you guys smiling at me like that?
How would you react if I said, not to be offensive, but you're kind of a typical woman?
I am. I'm a little bit basic. It's fine.
I love this podcast. If I'm pushing muting, the edges of family content here.
They keep muting themselves so they can laugh.
I can't hear Joseph's laugh right now. The listeners are missing it. Hello?
Connor's laugh. Yep, you hear one. You've heard
Connor
it all.
Laughs. Connor laughs the same. I will say that's probably one of my favorite things about being your sibling is just listening to you guys laugh. You have the funniest laughs.
That's so
But yeah, anyways, it's nice to hear that you guys enjoy it. I mean, I knew you enjoyed it, but also sorry if you can hear my puppy squeaking her toy in the background.
She's I can't hear her.
She stopped now, but she might intermittently
Miss Posey.
Chew on her toy. Yeah, I guess I would say the same thing. I mean, I'll have a creative answer. I think we, especially you two, have a lot of integrity, and it's nice to be part of a family of just good people. Like, you always do the right thing. I know I'm safe with you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your decisions. I don't ever have to like worry. I feel really sad for friends and people who they don't know if their family, like certain family members, might not always treat them right, or they might not be treating other people right, and then they are caught in the crossfire of, you know, my sibling's done something wrong. And now it's on the news, or, you know, whatever the situation is, like, it's just a safety net that is probably often taken for granted when you're surrounded by people who have integrity and do the right thing and are just good people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad I could be your big, safe brother. Big safe little brother.
Yeah. My big little brother.
Mm-hmm. I would say I enjoy this maybe isn't, I feel like you guys hit probably the best part, but I think one thing that I just enjoy is there's lots of diversity and things we like to do. So like mom likes to cook, dad likes to work on toys. We like to use the toys. We like to be outside. We like to do all sorts of different stuff, play games. And so I think I like to do all sorts of stuff, and I do all sorts of stuff all the time. And so I think that stems from how much different stuff mom and dad do and how much just different stuff we do as a family. So, I would say that I've really enjoyed that because it's helped me learn new stuff and find new things that I enjoy.
Yeah, I definitely feel like we're a hobby-oriented family. Maybe me the least amount, but I guess reading and writing is a big thing. But You guys, I mean, Dad is super like that. Like, I think I was complimenting Dad the other day of like one of the things he taught us is like pursue your interests. Like, if you're interested in sailboats, like he is, like he like really pursues it, and in his free time, like is just spends time on what he's passionate about.
That's so fun. And that makes it so that you guys can be better friends, better people, because you're able to just do what people are interested in.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like it helps me connect. I can find some common ground with most people.
Yeah, that's sweet.
What's a favorite family memory?
I feel like my answer will kind of encompass what will probably be all of our answers, which is it's either our family trips or Christmas. Because I feel like every one of our trips and every one of our Christmases has had really special moments. And that's kind of like the two things that our family really bonds over. And like we prioritize that time together.
My answer is probably one of the memories I think about the most. It's the most entertaining for me. There's actually two. There's two most entertaining memories for me. Actually, three. Three. Three that I come to quite
He has
frequently in
the
my
tone.
mind.
He has the tone and the smile that makes me think this isn't gonna be as
The
funny as he
first
thinks
one is the
it's
RV in Superior.
gonna be. Yeah, here we go. I knew it was gonna be something to make fun of me.
Basically, the story goes there was a fly and a typical woman.
A fly. There was like 1,000 flies.
And stuff hit the fan. That's memory number one. Memory number two is there was a family and a road trip to Wyoming, and there
Oh
was
my
a
gosh.
boy far away and a phone that didn't work, and the car almost started on fire. Stuff hit the
What?
fan. Stuff hit the fan. And then the third one's a little more sweet one.
Way to put me on blast on your podcast. Literally.
The third one's a little more sweeter. There were three kids and a road trip to Florida. And all three of them had $50. And one of them spent no money. One of them spent all their money. And one of
I
them
didn't
spent
spend all my
no money.
money. That's back when I was good at saving.
I'm so lost.
I was more responsible back then.
Okay, sorry. We can cut
Not
that out.
predict, Ellie, that his answers were not going to be as funny as you thought they were going to be. I'm pretty sure I said that.
Don't know.
I'm pretty
Connor's
sure you
crying, though.
definitely did.
Not sure. Joseph.
Now we know who the
Joseph,
funniest sibling is, and it's
he's
definitely
the
not either of
funniest
us two.
person on planet Earth. He cracks himself up. The
Oh, Connor's laughing at Joseph laughing at himself.
louder that
That
I laugh,
is
the louder everyone else laughs around me. It's just how it works.
that is true.
I
What's your favorite family
do
memory?
it sometimes too. I would say one of my favorite family memories, like Ellie said, all the family trips and everything are all very memorable. But and maybe you count this as a family trip, but just going up to the cabin when we were kids, specifically going up for the 4th of July, because when we were younger, we would go up for like 10 days or 2 weeks straight. And I remember always being excited for that. One in particular, I remember. We were going up to the cabin for like 3 or 4 days, and I got in the car with the clothes on my back and one pair of underwear. And mom yelled at me and said I had to go back in and get more clothes. Yeah. I remember you did that to a hockey tournament too. You brought one pair of underwear and your hockey stuff, and that was it. I don't need much.
My goodness gracious.
Actually,
Yeah, I can't
no.
believe I didn't say the cabin because that's literally my favorite place in the world. But
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going
yeah,
to say.
and we do family week every year. I guess, Okay, this is interesting. I don't know if you guys think of it this way, but I definitely compartmentalize our immediate family with the rest of the family. And I think I associate cabin time with our whole family, our
Oh, I
extended
can see that.
family, and not just us.
That is probably what your brain was thinking. True. Wow.
I have a new answer.
Joseph, yeah, give us a serious
I'm
answer.
leaving those bad
I have a new answer.
ones in. You did that to yourself. Go.
My favorite memory comes from Balsam Lake, and it is not the video of me going to the bathroom. That's not it. My favorite
Oh,
answer. My favorite memory is when I had two parents that left their brains in Woodbury. One of them was on the boat, and when the other one strapped me to a pair of water skis that I couldn't let go of, and
oh,
I got drug through the water for about
oh,
50 miles.
whatever.
All right, actually, like a good minute, and then I never water
That is
skied for
so
10 years
sad.
after that.
That is so
Oh, I hate
sad.
Joseph
That
just
is
so
so sad.
eloquently explained was the ski rope was tied to his skis. So even if he wanted to let go, he couldn't. That
Oh
was the crux
no.
of the issue. It
Thank
all
you
worked
for
out.
describing. Poor little
See you
guy.
again,
Wow.
Sean.
Also, the video that he was referencing about him going to the bathroom. Okay, picture this. Like old school camera that I don't know my mom or our dad was holding,
Has like the
and
timestamp on the bottom.
yeah, like real old school like VCR type camera, and it's panning, and it's this public beach. We're at a public beach, okay, and there's kids and there's family and our whole extended family, and it's panning around and seeing all the fun, and then I'm like saying something to them. And then all of a sudden, in the background behind me, and the camera, like you see something, and the camera shifts up, and it's Joseph completely butt naked, just peeing on a tree in the middle of the public beach.
Oh
And there's
my
kids running around him
Okay,
and
but he's like
parents
four, like
watching.
three.
And
He's like little.
he's like 5 or 6,
he's
but
probably like
yeah,
14
no
or
clothes
15.
on. This was actually last year.
Oh my goodness.
Some
But
things
the
never
way that
change.
the camera, the and then the way that they did a slow zoom in on him, like the
That's
comedic
hilarious.
timing of it all was so
Yeah,
good.
that's so funny.
Oh,
Oh man. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing some sweet memories, some interesting memories. Some of them, I don't know if the listeners will really be able to visualize, but they'll do their best.
hopefully they won't.
what is a hard
wait,
lesson?
back up. Miss Eliana, you're supposed to answer too. This isn't just a, this is a Doc and
Yeah,
Gerstanzia
what's your
podcast.
favorite
My
memory?
favorite memory with you guys' family?
No, with your
Oh.
family.
Ah. Okay, let's see.
But
Wait,
you can
so I had
also
to
do the
think
rest of
really
us.
fast.
What's the first one that popped into your head?
Oh my goodness, I don't even
It
know.
doesn't actually have to be your favorite, but like, what did you think of first?
Okay, the first one I thought of was we moved into our house in Minnesota on the 4th of July. So like our house was like pretty
Oh.
much empty. Like we didn't even have our furniture and stuff yet. But
Oh,
we
it
got to
sounds
like go.
familiar.
Yeah. Like when I moved here.
Yeah.
Basically. But so our whole family like tried to go to this like neighborhood like 4th of July bike parade, but we didn't know anyone, and so we were all just kind of like walking around. Evie had like her little baby bike, and then later we watched fireworks, and it was like in this new neighborhood, like I felt so out of place, but like because we moved together as a family, like the five of us were so close in that moment, you know, because we're kind of all we had. So that's like such a random memory. Wow. But that's the first thing that came to mind. Yeah.
Aw, cute.
Love it.
Super cute. Okay, now I'll ask you, what is a hard lesson mom and dad have taught you? Your mom and dad, not mine. Your mom and dad have taught you that you are grateful for.
Wear my seatbelt? No.
Wear your seat.
Never learned that lesson.
That's an inside joke.
You never
Wait,
wear your
yeah,
seatbelt?
I always wear my seatbelt. I don't know why you're talking about
Joking
time.
me.
That was literally one trip. When we were in Colorado, it was like the seatbelt was really annoying because it kept locking right on, like,
Yeah.
really
Oh,
tight. And but
yeah.
every
All
day in
right.
my
This is
car, I'm wearing
a
my
running
seatbelt.
joke in the Dokken family. Ever since Ellie was about 5 years old and big enough to wear a seatbelt, she has refused to wear the shoulder strap.
That is
It
so
has
funny.
been a
No.
battle between her and my
That's
parents.
actually so funny because earlier, like when I first started dating Joseph, I like would complain about how the buckle hit my neck because I was short. And he was like,
Yeah.
"Oh, my sister just always puts that part behind her." And I was like, "Oh, fun." So, like
Oh my
before I even
gosh,
met you,
no.
I'm not
Now
kidding. I literally
I'm
remember
a bad
that.
influence.
It's okay now.
I
Now it's
don't do that anymore
okay. That's good.
unless I'm in a car where it's choking
Like
me, but
painful, yeah.
in most cars that doesn't happen and it's fine.
That is
And
so funny.
I am always wearing my seatbelt, especially in my own car. So
That's good.
don't be spreading misinformation about me, Connor.
That's
You do a good job of it now.
good.
We just have to reminisce on the glory days.
Okay, a hard lesson that our parents taught us. I don't know. I think I tried to block all of
Okay,
that out.
if you don't all answer to, you could just pick like one or two
you can
things.
say skip if you don't want to answer.
You
That's
go,
fine.
Connor.
That's a hard question.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously feel like there are lessons that, I mean, obviously lots of lessons, but I hard lessons I'm struggling to come up with this, especially because I think I'm the kind of person that if it was a hard lesson, like if they were really pushing for something, I was more likely to push back and then not want to do it ever. So I think, like, I was a really good kid. I didn't do anything bad, but I was definitely had a very independent, a little bit rebellious, spirit.
You are
That
what
makes
parents could describe as a handful occasionally,
sense.
but a fun
Yeah,
one.
I would say probably most people would still describe me as that.
Best
I think
handful.
maybe for me, I can't think of like one big hard lesson that I learned, but I think I respond well to people leading by example. And I think that just watching how mom and dad raised us and lived their lives and getting lots of like small lessons along the way, just like being disciplined by them so many times, even if just on little things throughout my life, has shaped like my work ethic and how I treat other people and all those things. So I don't think there's one big hard lesson that I learned, but all the important things I learned from watching them and how they carry themselves. One
True.
lesson that I thought of that I don't think most people would consider it a hard lesson, but it's something that's hard to do, is being financially generous. I think that our parents did a good job of that, whether we knew it or not. And that is something that can be really hard for a lot of people to do. So I think that just seeing them be generous with their not only money, but time and energy and resources is something that not a lot of kids get to see growing up.
That's a good
And that is
one.
definitely a
Yeah.
hard lesson that they taught us well.
Yeah, they did make us, so when we would have an allowance, which I think we only had, at least I didn't have an allowance my whole childhood. It wasn't like every chore I did, they paid me for. It was just like a little bit, but when we did have an allowance, they made us split it up, and so some went into savings, some you could spend, and some always went to charity or church or something. So it was always like you always put a little bit towards something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, that's a good lesson. That's something my parents did that too, actually. Give, save, spend. And I vividly remember it because our allowance when we first got an allowance was $1.50 in 6 quarters. And we would like literally put like 2 quarters in like the give jar, 2 quarters in the save, and 2 quarters in the
Yeah,
spend. Like I still
that
remember.
was us too. I'm
Yeah.
pretty sure it was all in quarters. I
Yeah,
don't
it was all
remember getting any
quarters.
dollar bills.
No way. That's so cute. I love that. That's fun. Aww.
Actually, no, we got dollar bills when the Tooth Fairy came, I think.
Oh,
We
yeah,
got
that's
a
not an
$1
allowance,
bill.
though.
Then we
Ooh,
were really
fancy.
raking
That's not from your mom, though.
it.
That's from the Tooth Fairy. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Different.
Well, my mom knows the Tooth Fairy.
Oh,
They're
that's nice.
friends, so
Oh.
they colluded. Yeah, my mom convinced her to give me bills instead of coins.
That's cute. Cute. Yeah. Cute.
What was your first impression of Eliana?
That she was sweet and familiar. I was like, huh, another blonde, bubbly, outgoing Ellie.
That's
I'll get
sweet.
along with her.
My first impression, I don't remember because Ellie and I went to high school together. We were in the same grade. But I remembered Ellie as just being nice. Like when I heard that Joseph and Ellie were friends, I was like, oh, she was super nice in high school. So maybe that's not my first impression, but my overall impression from just like having class together or small interactions was just that Ellie was very nice.
Thanks.
And cute. I
Oh,
thought she was
yep. Yeah.
cute and
Thanks.
seemed like her values lined up with yours, Joseph.
Yep.
That's
We're
sweet.
running the same race.
I should share my first impression of you guys.
Oh.
Okay,
Go
wait,
for
this is
it.
hard. Okay, Connor, also in high school, I thought you were like just like a good. Oh, I thought you were like a good kid and like smart. Like I definitely knew that you would like you cared about school like decently enough compared to some people in high school. And then, but meeting you again like as like after COVID and like after everything like on the other side of high school, like all of that was very different. I feel like you were way more social than I expected, because in high school you never talked to me, so I was just like surprised that you were like very like you could interact like a normal person. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's not so bad. That's a good thing, though. Yeah,
High school, I might not have been able to do that. You never know.
I don't know exactly. Maybe things changed. It's all about that move to Madison. But Ellie, I think my first impression of you was okay. She's ambitious. You had like an easier first impression because it was just like I met you and like it was just you and me and Joseph. So I got to like really get to know you a lot. And yeah, creative, passionate. Like I pretty much knew a lot of things about you like straight away. Like it did not take long. Just because
Just
you, I
from
feel like,
meeting me?
oh yeah, just from like having lunch with you, you wear your heart on your sleeves. So you were like talking about like things right away that like some people don't talk about for a while, you know?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely not a small talk kind of person.
Yeah.
And I'm not definitely not afraid of, like, I'll talk to you about anything.
Yeah. Cute. So fun.
Nice.
Love it. Glad we all met. Can you guys see
Me
the heart
too.
I'm drawing on the screen?
Oh my goodness.
I cannot, but besties.
Sad. Yeah.
What's the most important, sticking on the theme of like a significant other or meeting a girlfriend or having a girlfriend or a boyfriend or partner or whatever, what's the most important quality or characteristic to you in a significant other?
Ooh. Well, I think I don't know that this is a quality necessarily, but I think relationships are built on respect, and that's not just romantic relationships, it's platonic and family and everything. So I think you have to have a mutual respect for one another. And maybe that stems from integrity and being someone who has a certain level of emotional intelligence so that when you are arguing or disagreeing, you're not getting so heated that you're reverting to childlike tactics or like bringing each other down or anything like that. Because I think that's where you start to lose respect for someone. So I feel like someone who's mature enough and emotionally intelligent enough and has enough integrity to treat people and treat you with like respect always.
So respect is like the big one, but it stems from like being mature and then all those other things too. I like that.
Yeah, maybe emotionally intelligent is what I would say. I think
Emotionally
that's a
intelligent.
better, yeah, because
I could see that.
then I would respect them more.
True. That's funny. I love it. What about you, Connor?
That's a tough question. I don't know if there's one characteristic. I mean, emotional intelligence is definitely super important. I don't know if I sell this on Instagram or if this is a Connor Dokken original, but I think if you're gonna put it in three F's, you could do faith, finances, and fun. To me, I think are
Oh,
three really important things.
interesting.
I think if you don't agree on your faith, that's something that's so important to people's identities that that is just starting off on two different playing fields. And the same goes for finances and fun. If you can't agree on finances, that's like the number one reason why people struggle in relationships. And then also, if you don't have a lot of fun together and don't even have to like the same things, but can just enjoy doing things that the other person likes, then it's just not, even if it'll work, it won't be as enjoyable as it could be. So I don't know if
Totally.
I could put one thing to it, and those are definitely a small fraction of the bigger pie, but I think those are three important things.
We gotta fact check that statement though, that finances is the number one reason
I've heard that too.
why.
I've heard
I
money is
think,
the number one cause of divorce. I seriously have.
really?
That is
Yeah,
the
that is
statistic I was
true.
referencing.
I thought I heard something else, but maybe
I'm
not.
pretty sure.
What do you think the number one reason for divorce is?
I don't know, but maybe you guys are right. I think I was listening to another podcast. Armchair Expert is my favorite, aside from this one.
Good catch.
And I think they were talking about other stuff, but maybe it wasn't the number one, so I don't know, ignore me. They do a fact check at the end of their podcast though, and anything that's said like a fact, they look it up and tell you if it's a
Oh, we
fact or
should.
not.
Those are some good characteristics, guys. I like them. Okay, this is a fun question. If you had 24 hours, what would you do with them? If you just have like a free 24. Sorry, I edited the question because it says if you had 24 hours to live, and that sounds so dramatic. So just like if you had
No,
a
that's
free
better, I
24
think,
hours.
because I have a free 24 hours whenever I want.
Okay, true. You're right.
So,
You're right.
like,
Okay,
do you want
fine.
to know my typical day or my
No,
day that I
no.
would?
Like, if
No,
you knew you were
no,
gonna die in
no.
24 hours.
Avoiding that. Fine.
Well, I would get my fam bam together, so all of you,
Like, the point
and
of the
I would.
question is to ask what's most
I
meaningful
know.
to you and, like,
Yeah,
how.
I know. So, if you had 24 hours to live, what would you do?
You go, Connor.
I can go. I think I've been asked this question before. There's one time I was asked this in a group setting, not by you, Joseph. And a lot of people were saying things like, I would eat all this and buy all this or do like all this stuff. And I feel like if I was in that situation, nothing like that would even cross my mind. I feel like that would just be so far from the top of my priority list that that feels kind of crazy that I have 24 hours, like I don't even care if I eat. Like that's
Yeah.
it's gonna be on the bottom of my list. Like I would definitely want to get all of my family and friends together and probably go to our cabin. I don't know. But
I
just
was
have
literally
all
gonna
my
say
family
the
and friends
same thing.
together and spend time with them. And yeah, I wouldn't care about anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say get everyone I love together and go to our cabin.
That's crazy. You both said the same thing.
You don't want one good meal? Like one nice
Of course.
Terry Dokken meal? I think maybe I would want to share a nice meal with my family, but
Hilarious.
not for the food's sake. Like I
Yeah,
could probably
that's
care
fair.
less. Yeah, it's good. The only thing
that you can take with you once you die is your relationship. So it's a good thing that you can want to spend time with the people that matter the most in your last 24 hours.
Food does seem kind of silly. Like when you think about it. That's funny. Yeah. Good point. I like it. Okay, last question is, do you have any questions for us?
What's been your favorite thing about doing this podcast? Mm. Favorite guest, favorite thing you've learned, whatever.
That's a good question. I always say this, but I like having a project to work on with Joseph because you see how someone problem solves and how they organize and how they do time management. Like, I just learn a lot. So that's been fun. But as far as the podcast goes, we just have seriously had like the coolest relationships. I feel like I just always have so many, like you were saying, Ellie, everyone affects you and like everyone in your life shapes you in some way. And so the fact that we have like a way to record it is so fun. And like getting to show Joseph people in my life like that he wouldn't have maybe have met is fun too.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like before the podcast, I would have lots of cool conversations and I'd be like, whoa, like coming out of it, like, whoa, that was so cool. I wish I could like listen back to that, or I wish I could let other people hear about it. And so I think it's been really cool to create number four on my top five strengths is input. So being able to create a place for me to go back and listen to those archived memories and reminisce on some moments that make me feel some emotion is important and has been special to me.
It's That's so cool. funny that we both have input as our number four. I'm pretty sure mine's number four too.
Input's either four or five for me too.
Oh my gosh.
That's so crazy.
It felt wrong when I got that. I was like, what? But no.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique one. But
for all those listening, input means that you like to collect things or people or information or stuff. I think I get it from Grandma Deanne. I'm not kidding.
That's funny. I never thought of myself as a collector of anything, but I guess I am.
For you, it could be like stories or like you like to read. That's definitely input. Like, like stories from people in your life and also stories and books.
That's true.
I don't know. Do you have any questions or no?
I don't think I have any.
No?
Okay.
I didn't prepare any questions.
That's okay. We don't need any.
No, oh, wait. I have another one.
Ooh, okay. Tell us.
What did you guys learn about us from this? Anything you didn't know about us before?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh,
that's a good question.
And how much are you going to edit out?
I don't think that I learned anything new.
Nothing new, really? I guess you've known them for a while. I learned, Ellie, I didn't, like, know. Like, I knew you had studied abroad in India and, like, done that. But I didn't know, like, how much it had affected you. And, like, what, like, how you view that time in your life. So that was cool.
Oh, wait. Actually, I did learn something new. Oh, wait. Yes, were you not done? Sorry.
Let's see what I learned about Connor.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But I haven't thought of one yet, so you go.
I learned what your dad said to you about, like, take
best
from all people. I didn't know that he told you that.
Yeah.
See? We're always learning something new about each other. Did I learn something about Connor?
I think I learned Connor. Well, first of all, that you value your parents really highly. I didn't really know that necessarily. So that was sweet. And then also with like dating, you're very logically minded. Maybe it's an engineering major thing or something. Like I was expecting like some character trait of like, oh, the girl must be like sweet or empathetic or ambitious, but no, she's like, faith finances fun, long as they check the boxes. Which those are like good things, but it's just like more logic, like more on the logic side than like the emotion side. But I don't know what I expected from you, but
it was a very Paca answer.
Aw, that's sweet. Is it like a guy thing? I don't know. Maybe it is.
I feel like my mom would answer something like that too, though.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
I am a realist. Also,
yeah.
A lot of the emotional traits are hard to put into words. That's
true.
Experience. So I feel like with the question, it's hard to, like, just saying, I want someone to be sweet. It's like, well, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people.
Yeah. No, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, interesting. He goes, I am a realist.
I think mom's more emotional than that.
No, mom is such a realist. Mom is very, she is so logical. I mean, I am too, but you guys just see different, like
there's lots of sides of you.
Yeah. I also think your family gets a completely different aspect of your personality that probably other people don't. You're like a different version of yourself with your family. I feel like I'm 16 again.
That's funny.
In a good way and in bad ways.
Yeah.
Just more
I
emotional.
Love you guys so much. This is so cute.
I love you too.
Thanks.
All of you.
Love you guys.
I forced him to do that.
That was a forced, yeah. Okay. Joseph, do you want to pray for them?
Yeah, I forgot to ask you. Is it okay if we pray for you guys?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and the ability to give us the technology to meet once again. I want to pray over Ellie, my sister, and Connor as they continue to live out their lives, putting relationships first and having lots of fun. I pray that you guide them and help them to do just that. And I pray as Ellie is in her new job, I pray that she is able to really enjoy it and get settled in quickly and excel quickly as well. And I pray for Connor in his last year that he is able to make the most of it, have lots of fun, build relationships, and lead well in young life and get good grades, I guess, too. That's important. And I pray for everyone listening that they are having a great day, doing well and able to enjoy life as much as these two explained that they are, I guess. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yay.
Thanks for having us, guys.
That was too long for my eyes to be closed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, thanks for being on. We really appreciate it. This has been great.
Mm-hmm. So fun getting to know you guys a little bit more and hear about your whole family and dynamic.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, what were you going to say?
Well, I just was thinking of more stuff to talk about because I feel like I could talk to you guys forever, but...
we'll have to do a part two.
I was gonna ask Ellie if she feels like how she feels like our family dynamic is, if she feels like our sibling dynamic is typical.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
How it compares to like hers or other people she knows.
I don't know about like what typical looks like. I've also never had brothers, but
hear. You've never had a brother.
Yeah, I'm scared of boys. The people I've heard have said like that brothers are like the worst and like they're just so mean and like ew. So I think in that sense, like, it's interesting that you guys all get along. But I also have like a very close relationship with my sisters. So like I get the bond that you have and like enjoying spending time with each other. Like I look forward to seeing my sisters. But it's different with girls and guys. So I'm not sure. But I would say it's definitely special what you guys have. Not every family. Yeah. Yep. Crash.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good week. Thanks for listening.